إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, we continue with the series on questions and how will we answer them, and these refer to the questions of the grave, and we are on the first question, which is Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? And we were talking about how if we need to answer this question, and of course we do need to answer this question, if we want to answer this question correctly, which is to say Rabbi Allah, that my Rabb is Allah, then what is it that we need to do with regard to living our lives in such a way that that answer Rabbi Allah will come out from our mouths when the angels come and question us. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about these angels, he described them and he said that they have a very terrifying appearance. These are not nice little angels who will come and sit by your side and sing tunes to you in your ears. They are huge big angels. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said their eyes are blue and black. He said that when they come, they will dig the earth behind them, and they will come and they will ask these questions in an extremely harsh manner. In a very horrific and a very harsh manner. Imagine you've just left this world, and may Allah cause us to leave this world in a way which is the best for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the last of our actions the best of our actions, and the last of our days the best of our days, and to take us in a state where we will be helped by Allah Jalla Jalaluhu when we have to face His makhluk, about we have to face creatures who are other forms of life which we have never seen, who we have never heard, and that day every single one of us will see them and we will hear them, and that time and that whole experience will be extremely horrifying and terrifying unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us, and we ask for the help of Allah Jalla Jalalu. So in that context we said, well, if we have to answer Rabbi Allah, what do we need to do? And the answer, short answer, is that we have to live our lives keeping this Rabbi Allah in mind. We have to live our life as if Allah is actually Allah is our Rabb. There's no as if to that, but meaning that if we are saying this with our tongue that Allah is my Rabb, then is that speech, is that claim reflected in all my actions in life? Because at the end of the day, that is what matters and that is what counts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat which we recite every Jum'ah, as part of the khutbah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He say? اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All you believe, have fear of Allah, have fear of offending Allah, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it is His right that He should that you should have this taqwa, and do not die except in a state of Islam. So how do we ensure that we don't die except in a state of Islam? By living in a state of Islam. There is no way that we are going to live in a state outside of Islam, and then suddenly at the moment of our death we are going to come and die as Muslims. This is not possible. It's not even logically, doesn't make sense, obviously cannot happen. Especially when we know that death is completely unexpected, we do not know when we are going to die. If we knew the specific date of our dying, I can say, well, I'm going to die on so and so date, and therefore 2 days before that I'm going to do all of this and be prepared. But we don't know that. Death comes, and it comes suddenly. For every single person, death is unexpected. The only person for whom death was an expected and known event was for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the azaz and this is the honor that is given to the Anbiya, where Malakul Maut comes to him and first of all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him this question, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he would like to meet his Rabb. And then when Malakul Maut comes, Malakul Maut asks his permission before he extracts his soul. This is the azaz of the Anbiya. Nobody other than the Anbiya get this. And nobody other than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got this. So therefore, as far as we are concerned, no matter what we consider our station to be, only Allah knows what our stations are. It's not what people say. It's not what we think of ourselves. What the station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is known only and only to Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that station the best of those stations, and to hide our faults from the people, and to give us the love and respect and izzat of the people as well. So we come to the last of those matters, and as I mentioned to you, Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, complete and total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first of the matter, and the last of the matter is the ittiba of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is to see, and the reason for that, why must we do the ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because that is the way of getting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us. Because in the end, my brothers and sisters, that is the only thing which matters. Does Allah love us or does Allah not love us? No amount of our own declarations of love and devotion for Allah have any meaning if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept that love. Let us remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghani and He is As-Samad. He does not need our love and our devotion. He is not bound to accept it. If He accepts it, He is doing us a favor. There continue to be many people in the world who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this country, in India, there was the famous what came to be known as the Bhakti movement. And we have people like Mirabai and people like Kabir and Kabir Das and so on, who wrote a lot of poems and sang songs and whatnot. And their whole thing was Bhakti means love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not use the word Allah, but that was what they meant. And this is Bhakti. The question is not whether they loved God. The question is, did Allah love them? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself gave the answer. He gave the answer of to this question. If you ask this question, does Allah love me? Tell me, should we ask this question for ourselves or not? What do you think? Yeah? We should ask, no? So ask this question, does Allah love me? And the answer is given by Allah Himself. Jalla Jalalu. So we don't have to ask anybody else. If you say, does Allah love me? You don't need me or somebody else to tell you, yes, Allah loves you, or no, Allah doesn't love you. No. You don't even have to answer the question yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the question for you. So ask yourself this question, does Allah love me? Ask. Does Allah love me? Huh? Okay, khana nahi khaye.
Does Allah
love me? Alright, so see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the answer to this question, does Allah love me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحُبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Does Allah love me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you love Allah, if you really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then make my ittiba, follow me, imitate me, Allah will love you. Does Allah love me? What is the answer to that question? Am I doing the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? Very simple. If you are doing the ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. If you are not doing the ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then believe me, no matter what else you are doing, Allah does not love you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it Himself. Now you might say, well, you see, I'm doing a lot of good work. Allah takes a lot of good work even from the people who are not even Muslim. Today, the tragedy is, the greatest and most charitable people in the world are not Muslim. The greatest and most ostentatious spenders are Muslims. Complete opposite. People who are actually spending billions of dollars in charity, who are actually helping the people, poor people, who are, you know, spending money like water to cure sickness, the AIDS program of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, billions of dollars across the world. Not Muslim. And when it comes to buying personalized A380 planes with jacuzzis on board, who does that? Muslims. When it comes to buying big colored rocks for billions of dollars, who does that? Muslims. When it comes to setting up a Christmas tree worth $15 million, $13 million with gold and diamonds and whatnot on it, who does that? Muslims. So don't believe that just because you are doing charitable work or you are doing spending money and so on and so forth, that somehow Allah loves you, even if you leave the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sorry, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. For a very simple reason. What you are spending belongs to Allah anyway. You are not doing Allah any favor. You are not taking what belongs to you to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah's great mercy on you that Allah gave you the opportunity to spend that money in the path of Allah. There are other people like you who are spending that money in all kinds of haram stuff. You could have been them. But Allah saved you from that. He gave you an opportunity. Inshallah, Allah will also give you the reward for that. I am not sitting here in judgment to say what Allah will do and He will not do. All I am saying is, question, does Allah love you? No. If you are not doing the sunnah, if you are not making ittiba of the sunnah of Allah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love you. I didn't say it, Allah said it himself. My brothers and sisters, imagine the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah had set some tough conditions to win his love, even then we would have been grateful for having a way by which we could get Allah to love us. But in his infinite mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a way which is easy, which is beautiful, and which is something that anyone with any sense would be delighted to follow anyway. And that is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all we need to do to become the beloved of Allah, to become awliya Allah, to become people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, is to imitate Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm specifically using the term imitate and not obey, because the meaning of ittiba is imitate, the meaning of ita'at is obey. They're two completely different words. Now if somebody still does not want to make the ittiba of Rasulullah, then believe me, that person has only himself or herself to blame for losing out on the biggest advantage that they could have had and they could have gained so easily and happily. I don't wish that on anyone. But the time when we will remember this particular lecture, the time when you remember me who irritates you by saying the same thing over and over again, may Allah save you from that. The time when you will remember that with thankfulness or with regret is when you are lying alone in your qabr and Munkir and Nakir have come and they are asking you, Man Rabbuk? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that day a day when you will remember this with great happiness and say, Alhamdulillah, I heard this and I did it and now I am safe. I definitely do not wish that on that day you will say, oh my God, I wish I had heard, I wish I had listened, I wish I had done something. My brothers and sisters, what is a better provision than the help of Allah when we are lying in that grave alone? Just today I got news of two people we knew. I mean, many people die, of course, thousands of people in the world, but two people, one of them is my mother's cousin who passed away. We request you to make dua for his maghfirat, inshallah. Mushtaq Ahmed, he was sick for a long time and he passed away, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him Jannatul Firdaus al-Ala without hisab. We ask you to make dua for his maghfirah, inshallah. And the other one is the mother-in-law of another good friend of mine, Sayyid Adil from Bangalore. His mother-in-law also passed away in Calcutta this morning. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her Jannatul Firdaus al-Ala bi ghairi hisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she also was ill for a long time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wipe off all her sins and to forgive her for all her mistakes and to be pleased with her. And to be pleased with Uncle Mushtaq and not to be displeased with them at all, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, a day will come when this dua, inshallah, will be made by somebody else for you and me. That day will come. But believe me, on that day, the dua will help, no doubt. I have absolutely no doubt. Inshallah, the dua will help, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us people who will make this dua for us, inshallah. And I request all of you to make this dua for me when you know that I am gone. But all the dua in the world is not going to help if there are no actions to support it. And I'm not just playing, I'm not just being a dead weight or being negative. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and specifically asked this question. He said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please make dua that I am one of your companions in Jannah. He asked him, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua that I am one of your companions in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will make the dua, but you help my dua, you help me with your actions. So if the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs the help of the actions of the individual, how do you think your dua or my dua will, what do you think it will do if the actions are not there? Right? I'm not giving you my opinions. Please note, I'm giving you ahadith, I'm giving you Quran. There is nothing bigger and better than that. And therefore, it's up to you. Take it or leave it. If the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam needed the help of the amal of the person, what do you say about my dua or your dua? So dua alhamdulillah is valid and we still make the dua, but don't do this to yourself. Do not leave the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do not refuse to make the ittiba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam just because of your nafs, just because of your desire. This is the worst of things to do. Because I mean, for what are you doing that? Tell me. What gain do you get from that? Don't do this to yourself. Now what of those who Allah loves? So what's so great about Allah loving us? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in a hadith which is in Bukhari, Malik and Tirmidhi. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the meaning of which is, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a slave of his, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam and says, I love so and so, therefore love him. And he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so Jibreel loves him, then he calls, he meaning Jibreel calls out in the heavens and says, Allah loves so and so, therefore love him. And the inhabitants of the heavens love that person. Who are the inhabitants of the heavens? The malaika. The angels. And he, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then acceptance for that person is established on the earth. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes somebody, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam in the same sequence. He calls Jibreel alayhi salam and tells Jibreel, I dislike so and so, I abhor so and so, I hate so and so. And Jibreel alayhi salam, and Allah says, and you hate him also. And Jibreel alayhi salam hates that person. And he announces in the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes so and so. And therefore the inhabitants of the heavens also dislike that person. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam said, so they abhor him, they dislike him, and dislike and abhorrence for him is established on the earth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish love for us in this dunya, which comes from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. My brothers and sisters, ittiba, imitation, is a sign of love. Imitation is the most sincere sign of love. Why is this important? Because love is beyond obedience. It's a stage beyond the stage of obedience. Obedience is a necessary step leading to love. They cannot be, you can't claim to love Allah and you don't obey Allah. We got this, we have all these, all kinds of people today. You have people who claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ruhi fida Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have invented all these terms. Ruhi fida Rasulullah. My ruh is sacrificed on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba never said ruhi fida. They said, may my mothers and fathers be sacrificed on you, Ya Rasulullah. But anyhow, so it's a Ruhi Fida. But then you see this Ruhi Fida, and this Ruhi Fida looks like Bill Gates. Or he looks like Michael Jackson. I mean, there's no resemblance in that Ruhi Fida and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? He's got a punk hairstyle, he's got an absolutely smooth face. I don't like the term clean shaven, because how can removing the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam be called clean? There's nothing clean about it. It's a very dirty action for a Muslim to do that, right? But we have described the face, so it's a very smooth face. You don't see the sign on Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his speech or his actions or his dealings or in his nothing. But Ruhi Fida, Ya Rasulullah, Ruhi Fida, La Hawla, where is this? What deen is this? What deen is this? The ittiba of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is absolutely fard on the person. Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala made this fard. So ittiba and imitation is a sign of love. Not claiming to love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not claiming to love Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So now obedience is an absolutely necessary step leading to love. But to gain the love of Allah, one has to go beyond obedience and do more than that, more than what is merely the duty. The person must do more because he loves Allah. And what is that more? He must make himself a replica of the one who Allah loves. Habibullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want Allah to love you, what must you do? Become like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah loves Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves anyone who is like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talk about appearance because that is the first thing. But please don't think that appearance is the only thing. It is not the only thing. It's the first thing, therefore it is very important. When I am saying it is not the only thing, it does not mean it is not important. It means that it is not complete in itself. Appearance is the first thing. Absolutely critical to change your appearance, to make yourself look like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why must a Muslim be persuaded to do that? Why must a Muslim be persuaded to look like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I have never understood this thing. Why must a Muslim be persuaded to look like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who do you want to look like? Tell me. Other than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who do you want to look like? And why do you want to look like that person instead of looking like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ask yourself seriously, sit down, ask yourself these questions. Ask yourself, why do I want to look like anyone other than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why must I need persuasion to look like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ask yourself these questions. And then once you have changed your appearance, then look at the next step. What is my speech like? What are my actions like? What are my dealings with people like? Everything is important and everything is equally important. Please understand that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu hasbuka Allahu wa manittaba'aka minal mu'mineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Oh my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is sufficient for you and for the believers who make your ittiba. وَمَنِ تَبْعَكَ. Allah did not say those who obey you. He said those who make your ittiba. Those who love you and imitate you. Allah said Allah will is sufficient for them. Allah will become enough for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them in every aspect of their lives. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal. Now, brothers and sisters, ask yourself this question. What is the value of Allah becoming sufficient for us? What is the value for us in this dunya and in the akhirah? And once again, seriously ask yourself this question. Does this thing have value for me? You know, I am the world's greatest expert at asking dumb questions. Right? Nobody asks as many dumb questions that I ask. But the reason I ask dumb questions is because seriously, we have to ask ourselves these questions. Live thoughtfully, live intelligently, practice your deen consciously, not by default, not by like some rasam, this is some, you know, custom and practice. No, consciously. So ask yourself this question. Imagine, think about this. Here you have a formula where you can actually get Allah to love you. And you're not following that formula. So ask yourself, this love for Allah, is it important? Love of Allah, is it important? So say to yourself, no, actually I don't think I need it. It's not important. So forget all this ittiba business. No problem. Alhamdulillah, you are doing something consciously. Do it consciously. Say this to, and you know I am saying this to you because I have absolute complete certainty that there is not a single person in this room, in this masjid, there's not a single person, not a single Muslim who will listen to this khutbah of mine and actually say, I don't need the love of Allah. It is my guman, it is my belief about you that if you are not doing the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is only because you have not thought seriously about the issue. It is my belief, and may Allah make this right, that not a single one of you who is not doing the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing that deliberately as a action of rebellion. I don't believe that. You are not doing it as an action of rebellion. You are just doing it thoughtlessly. You are doing it because you have not given it thought. You are doing it because you don't ask these dumb questions to yourself. So my submission to you is, please ask this question. It will and it should and it will frighten the living daylights out of you. And it will chase shaitan away, because it's only shaitan who is whispering in your eyes to say that you look nice like this and you look nice like that. Who the hell cares whether you look nice or you don't look nice? What matters is whether, I mean, somebody says that you will look worse if you look like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What kind of iman is that? What kind of Islam is that? People will like you if Allah loves you. Period. People will like you if Allah loves you. And how will Allah love you? When you look like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you walk, talk, act like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So ask yourself this question. Is the love of Allah important for me? Do I want Allah to love me? Do I care whether Allah loves me or not? Please forgive me, dumb questions, but ask these questions. Seriously ask yourself
this question and say, what is the value of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving me? And then notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking about obedience, He is talking about love, He is talking about imitation. He's talking about being as close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as possible, about loving to imitate Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and about the serious desire to become the beloved of Allah. For such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He will become sufficient. What does it mean? It means you raise your hands, you ask, Allah will give you. You don't want this? You raise your hands, you ask, Allah will give you. Whatever you ask, Allah will give you. First minimum benefit of Allah loving you. First minimum benefit is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. So ask yourself these questions so that you will not regret whatever you do later on. My brothers and sisters, it's a widespread misunderstanding in the Ummah today that to follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something that Allah has left to the discretion of the individual, and that it is not very important in the individual's practice of Islam. Consequently, we often hear people speaking of the various sunan of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in tones bordering on disdain. For example, people say, oh, but after all, that is only a sunnah. Somebody said this to Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi in Medina. He said to him in Urdu, he said, how Maulana magar wo sunnati chhai na? Hyderabadi thaunga, it's a sunnati chbala. Sunnati chhai na. Now Maulana gave a beautiful answer, and I will translate that for you. Maulana said, aapki baat sahi hai, magar aapka lehja kufr hai. The man said, oh, but it's only a sunnah. Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib rahmatullah said, what you have said is correct, it is only a sunnah, but the way you said it, this is kufr. He said, your words are correct, but your tone is kufr. So there is this widespread misunderstanding that to follow the sunnah is something that is left to our own whims and fancies, that it is not particularly important, and that we can do it or we cannot do it. Either way, it is fine. I want to completely debunk this and to show you from the Quran and sunnah that the following of the sunnah is fard. It is very, very critical for us to understand the importance of following the sunnah and to differentiate between obeying the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is ita'at, and doing what he used to do even when he did not order it, which is called the ittiba. Now this is especially important for those who wish for the love of Allah and for the acceptance of their dua and who seek to be close to their Rabb. The way to that closeness to Allah is only through the blessed sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no way other than the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam if you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. There is no closeness to Allah for those who reject or disregard or play down the importance of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and His sunnah. And please understand, you may not be saying it with your tongue, may Allah protect us from that, but our actions speak louder than our words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used two words in connection with His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam: ita'at, obedience, and ittiba, which is imitation or to copy or to follow. About the importance of ita'at, obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many ayat in the Quran, some of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّ فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. He said, he who obeys ita'at, he who obeys the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has obeyed Allah. And he who turns away, then we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a watcher over those people. Allah made the obedience to His Messenger a condition of iman. And He said that a person has no faith until he not only obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely without question, but he did not even have any resistance in his heart about the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please notice, we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our speech and our actions. What is in our heart, Allah has not held us accountable for this. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our thoughts and our feelings, Allah has left them free until we express this thought. Until we express this feeling, and then this feeling and this thought becomes either something which is culpable or something which is worthy of praise and which is rewardable. Right? But with regard to obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even held what is in the heart as accountable. And not only did Allah hold this accountable, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this a condition of iman itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجْ مِمَّا خَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, but no, by your Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a qasam by himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by himself. Fala wa rabbika, Allah is swearing by himself. What is bigger than that? What is a more commanding oath than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking the oath by himself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fala wa rabbika, verily and truly, by your Rabb. They can have la yu'minuna. They have no iman until they make you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the judge in all disputes between them. Thumma la yajidu fi anfusihim harajan. They make you the judge in all disputes between them. They accept your judgment completely without question, and they do not find inside their heart even. They find in themselves no resistance against your decisions. And they accept those decisions with full submission. Allah is saying they are not even Muslim until they obey you completely without question, without argument. And on top of that, they do not even feel in their heart that this decision, this judgment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is really not fair. They don't like it and dislike it. Allah said, even if they feel that in their heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are not Muslim. Now think about this. How many of us think that wearing the trouser above the ankles? I won't even say many of the statements that I have heard. May Allah protect me and not call me as a witness against those people who make those statements. What do we say about things which we consider to be unimportant? Yeah? And please note, I have not mentioned the beard. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah said, it is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed in a matter, that they should have any opinion other than that they should have any option in their decision. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whosoever disobeys Allah, may yasi Allah wa rasulahu, whosoever disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has indeed gone far away, strayed in plain error. My brothers and sisters, these ayat, among several others of similar meaning, clearly emphasize the importance of obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being something that is a condition of faith. Obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a condition of faith, and it is critical to the perfection of the faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated this categorically. The principle is established, therefore, that if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives an order, he must be obeyed without question, without argument. And we as Muslims must not even have a thought or a feeling in our hearts against that decision. I want to end here with this, because this will continue next Jummah also. I just want you to stay with this. We have not yet come to Ittiba, although I touched on the Ittiba. We will come to that in more detail next Jummah inshallah. But look at the issue of Itaat. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, obeying Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a condition of iman. Without that, the person has no iman. And that obedience has to be not as I like, as I don't like, I take some, I leave some. No. Whatever he decreed, whatever he ordered, we obey it completely. We obey it without argument. We obey it without question. And we do not even have a thought or a feeling in our hearts against that hukum, against that fatwa, against that judgment, against that order of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to collect all of us together in under the shade of His arsh on the day of judgment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us among those who will be received by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on His house and be given the water of His of Al-Kawthar by His blessed hand. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that all of us are those who will receive the direct help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu when we are lying in our qubur, when we are questioned by the angels. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our du'as, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of you who are here and all your families who are here or not here. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.